G.I. Joe Sigma 6, codename for a highly trained special mission force. Its objective, stop Cobra, stop Cobra.
Sigma 6, be a hero.
G.I.
Joe will turn the tide.
Be a hero.
Sigma 6 is on your side.
Be a hero.
Be the best of the best.
Whenever there's a mission, G.I. Joe is there.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. This week, I cannot guarantee it's spider-free. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis.
You know, sometimes I really do not like being on a chat with these two. Because you can put the GIFs of spiders. You just put them there. It's free and it's legal. You can do that to people who have arachnophobia.
Listen, Robert Clark Chan, part of being friends is learning each other's weaknesses and exploiting those weaknesses.
Fact.
Gina Umpolito, that is what you call an enemy.
Did you just call me Umpolito?
I didn't, but I will from now on.
Oh my gracious.
Gerno Umpolito, tell us what your day is like.
No, look, because ordinarily when Chan is late getting us the link, I send him a meme of Bernie Sanders that says, I am asking once again for Chan to send us a link. And I thought I really came through in an audience of only two people, and that's why I'm bringing it up here. When I found a picture of Bernie Sanders as a spider and I posted it in our chat, I thought I was doing a great job.
Rafe Bricanus, you are not helping at all.
To be fair, when I was in high school, we made up joke names for each other, and mine was Ragnarok Spankton, which I think is a considerably better name than my actual one.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's pretty solid. We're talking about G.I. Joe this week. Why bury the lead? We are actually talking about G.I. Joe Sigma 6. This is episode 10, so after this one, only three more episodes of season 1 of Sigma 6, then we have season 2 of Sigma 6, but, you know, milestones, everybody. Milestones. Are we enjoying season 7 so far? I am.
We're not even halfway through.
Wait, what's the name of this episode?
Honor.
I thought you were saying it was called Milestones, and I was about to be like, I watched the wrong episode, y'all.
No, I'm going to say right now, I'm going to put it out there, and I'm going to say it early so that way Chan can get his disagreements ready. I thought this was the best episode of Sigma 6 that we have watched so far.
Holy shit balls.
I thought this was the best episode of Sigma 6.
If you're going to argue, then you have to present an alternate candidate.
Yeah, Chan, what was your favorite episode of Sigma 6?
Yeah.
Look, I'm not a canon guy by any stretch of the imagination, but what they've done to just shit on the character of Snake Eyes just in this episode was very, very unpleasant. I did not care for it at all.
That's wild.
I'm sorry, did I say Snake Eyes? I meant Naruto. That's what I meant to say.
He is Naruto. He is Naruto Snake Eyes in this. That is, yes, I think we must all have that exact same note somewhere written down. But I did feel like I know the comics a little bit. And I do feel like they played with the tropes of the comics. And I thought they did a good job getting near the comics. Considering that this is meant to be a send-up of Japanese style anime, the fact that we have the most Japanese storyline, I thought, while not without its warts, I thought they did a pretty reasonable job of the interplay between Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes and some of the character choices that were made. I was on board for.
I thought it was fine. So once again, we have Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Oh my goodness. Well, here we go. It opens in Japan. There's an Arashikage shrine, and somebody calls somebody a peckerhead, which I didn't know you could use that language in 2005, 2006, but here we are.
But really?
Yeah. And Kamakura's there. And we're all reminded, because I forgot, that Kamakura was also a member of the Arashikage clan. And he was wondering if this shrine would have some of his old ninja buddies there.
Also, he's a white dude, right?
Yep.
And I'm going to be honest. I was a little confused about that part.
That was like right off the bat. They're like, hey, Japan is Snake Eyes' homeland. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought he was a white dude. What the hell? Turns out he is a white dude, but like it's unclear to me if Japan is his homeland, if they know that he's white.
One of them was adopted though, right?
Which Snake one? Eyes was adopted into the Arashikage clan. That is correct.
As a baby?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that part of his lore?
Yeah, I forget what age it happened, but yeah, he was the adopted son of the Hardmaster, who is the sensei. And Storm Shadow, if I remember right, is his actual like biological son. I shouldn't say actual. Biological son.
He's like, why can't you be more like my adopted boy?
Yeah, and there's a natural rivalry between the two for their entire lives because Hardmaster is always harder on Storm Shadow and he's always favoring Snake Eyes. So Storm Shadow kind of gets a little like chip on his shoulder about it.
Wait, how do I know this and Chan doesn't?
Great question. My understanding was that he was an adult by the time he came to Japan.
No, he's like a little orphan. Little orphan Snake Eyes. And he gets adopted. This is even established in the live action G.I. Joe movie.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's its own separate world timeline thing.
And just to finish out the thought, in the comic books, that's how it builds up. And then in the climactic moment, Cobra asks Storm Shadow to join them and he turns them down. He says, you're not honorable. I'm not going to join Cobra.
Snake Eyes was trained at the Military Assistance Command Vietnam Recondo School and served a long range reconnaissance patrol in Southeast Asia with Stalker and Storm Shadow, eventually leaving the service to study martial arts with Storm Shadow's Arashikage Ninja Clan. So unless he was 4 years old when he went out on patrol in Vietnam.
No. I'm telling you, in the live action movie, the first one, like we're the kind of good one, the live they action show movie him. Doesn't even
happen until years later after this.
But I think that this is setting up that new mythos that he was adopted because they show them as little boys.
Yes. No, they are. I mean, look, here's the deal. There are different tellings. My notion was that, and maybe this is the canon Hasbro version. I don't know what version Chan has in front of him right now. But my understanding was that definitely in the Rise of Cobra, they say he was abducted off the streets and taken into the ninja clan. Like that is absolutely how it goes. In the TV show, and obviously here, he's shown as being two kids in the clan. So here in Sigma 6, that is the story as well. I thought that was also the story of the comic book, but I guess I'll have to go into a little bit of a deeper research for that.
Yeah, I guess you will.
But what I'm saying is, like, I would buy one white Arashikage clan member. Also, like, the whole lore is that, like, Storm Shadow thought that he killed their master, but really it was Cobra. And then at some point he finds it out and is like, oh, well, fuck Cobra. But I'm also not going to join the Joes. I'm going to be my own man. And then he struts off into the sunset. And I think he became a Wall Street bro.
Yeah, that holds up.
He was in the movie Wolf of Wall Street.
Snake Eyes of Wall Street.
He was the one doing cocaine off a hooker's butt. I assume that there is a shot of a Wall Street bro doing cocaine off a hooker's butt in that movie.
Oh.
I have not seen that movie.
So according to this, and I can't see like where it is, but according to the official Joepedia, members of the Arashikage clan characters we know about. We have Snake Eyes, Storm Shadow, Jinx, Slice, Dice, Kamakura, and more surprising to me than any others, Firefly. Firefly is a member of the clan, which I did not know about till this moment.
Well, there you go then.
But yeah, here's the deal. There are different tellings of this story, and that's okay, Robert Clark Chan.
It is not okay. It is not okay.
It's pretty much okay. Anyway, so the story goes.
It's fine that there are different versions. It's not fine that this is the worst version.
No, well, here's the deal. Cobra Commander ordered the Hard Master to be assassinated with the hopes that that would turn Storm Shadow evil and have him join Cobra. So he hired Zartan to go and take him out, which I think he takes him out with a bow and arrow from a long distance away, drops him. Good job, comic book Zartan. And Snake Eyes is the one who finds him. So, of course, Storm Shadow says, oh, you did this. You killed our father. I hate you. I'm going to go join Cobra. And so in retaliatory moment, Snake Eyes joins G.I. Joe. Thank you. That's the story.
Which one?
It's one of them. Definitely one of them.
That is moderately helpful.
I believe that that is the comic book version. That is the comic book version. Although now I'm having second thoughts about was he there as a kid? I don't know the answer to that. I thought so. Anyway, that's going to take us to the intro, and we have this wild extended intro again. I'm sure y'all noticed.
Yep.
Why does this just appear like every five episodes?
Wait, there's different intros?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. I like
it. I've been complaining about it because like they have like all these clips added from the previous episodes we just watched, in addition to the theme song, so it's longer. Maybe they only put it in there when they don't have as much show to give to us.
And maybe that's entirely possible.
The simple answer? I don't know. But cutting back to it, we go right away. Like, we're going straight into the action with the Sigma System protocol, and I'm still very confused as to how this works.
How this works is they show it, and children go, I want to buy that. And then they harass their parents until they cave.
I get that, but they put the mission parameter. We've talked about this before, but they put the mission parameters in and it starts downloading and figuring out who the best members for the team are. And then halfway through that process, Duke just turns and goes, okay, guys, I'm just going to tell the computer who it's going to be. It's going to be the ninja team this week.
Yep.
This is the ninja. Yep. And he's right. Don't get me wrong. So you got what? Jinx, Kamakura, and Snake Eyes.
Yep.
Why we only send three people on a mission? I don't know. Seems weird.
I mean, who else are they going to send? They're trying to also for the record, they're no longer called Power Stones. They're called Sigma Stones. Why? Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
When did they change that?
I don't like that. I don't like it right now.
Mm-hmm. This episode, I'll tell you when they changed it.
They don't make it clear why that is the reason, but they do. And it's bullshit.
And I just wrote it again. That sequence is badass. The system Sigma System protocol scene is awesome. And if the show was only that, I'd be okay.
Yeah. I get it. I'm content to let that lie.
I'm glad to hear it.
I mean, Here's the thing. For the most part, I am not a content person. And I have things to say about a lot of things. I'm going to let this one go. And you should be thankful.
I don't know. I've heard you go off on some wild tangents about very, very minor things before. And I would argue it always makes for good podcasts.
What you call a tangent, I call a legitimate beef.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. Now, we got the Dreadnoks. The Dreadnoks are here in Japan, dressed like traditional Japanese people.
Here's the thing, because the Dreadnoks are such idiots to begin with, I like this bit. I think it's making fun of like American idiots who 100%. Are like
100%. If you asked me which of the G.I. Joe characters were weebs, I would be like, Dreadnoks, no question. You don't have to ask me anything more. Just in my head, I know that that's what they are. That they go home and they all have waifu body pillows. They all have Crunchyroll subscriptions, and they all have just like tons and tons of hentai on their computer. And did nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I like to think that they, like, on the flight over, they were like, we gotta blend in, you know? And then, like, they were like, I got it. And then they went to the very first store that they saw when they got off the plane, and they were basically like, yeah, this is gonna be great. We're gonna fit in just like locals.
Can we? I still have a problem with the voice, and I love voice actors. Look, I'm on the record. I love voice actors. They're all brilliant people and very fun. I still don't care for the voices. Maybe because I got Chris Latta, and you know, in the originals, and they were so good that I'm just having a hard time adjusting. Could we hear just a little bit of this scene of them talking? It's just, I don't know. It's probably fine. Maybe I'm being too hard on it. I just, every time they start talking, I get a little annoyed.
You're off your rocker, Machete. You said these kimonos would help us blend in.
There's been some kind of mistake. Maybe the cruiser dropped us off in the wrong blooming country.
That sounds fine to me.
It dropped us off in the wrong blooming country. I don't know. It just doesn't have the panache that I want out of my dreadnoughts. Maybe I'm too hard. Maybe I'm just too hard on this.
Maybe you hate voice actors for some reason. I don't know why you would, because they're wonderful people.
How dare you? How dare you, Robin Cartan?
It just seems we're an animation podcast. It's rude.
One of the wildest things I've seen on Sigma 6 happens, where we cut to Jinx and Kamakura flipping and flying through the trees to navigate themselves to the Arashikage Temple. And then as they arrive, it turns out Snake Eyes just took a motorcycle.
They're practicing.
I found that to be very funny, is that they're doing all this very traditional anime, you know, running the rooftops, swinging the trees. And then they get there and Snake Eyes is just hanging out on a motorbike. Into it. One aspect of this I did like is the fact that Storm Shadow still considers himself to be with the Arashikage clan. So when he sees three Joe members who he feels are bad people, he doesn't, you know, no one will tell him. When he sees Snake Eyes and two friends there, two clanmates there at the source of the Soul Stone, he says, "I need to protect the Soul Stone of the Arashikage clan from you." Even though his side is the one that's there to steal it. Good writing.
Yeah. You know what's not good writing?
A traitor who shall be punished when we fight the duel of the three elements.
Ugh.
Okay, look.
You hate
okay,
elements?
I hate this idea that it's a duel of three elements. Three elements? Jesus Christ. Four or five? If you choose three, that means that we did not have enough time. And if you don't have enough time, you don't fucking do it.
Chan hates the elements. He hates the Disney Pixar film Elemental.
I haven't heard good things about it, so.
I rest my case.
Mm-hmm. It turns out that it's like a whole thing with like a super move that can only be done by two people, which... I mean, little hokey, I'm willing to go with it, but the way they kludged it together, I was just not on board.
It's a little clunky. I'll say right here, no, the elements as I know them as five, and I'm using the Captain Planet version, you've got earth, wind, water, mm-hmm. fire, mm-hmm. and of course, heart.
Yeah.
Those are the five elements, as we all know. Steel is the first of the three elements, not one of the Captain Planet Pentumvirate. I don't know what you would call that. I think I did it right. No, I take it all back. I got it right. Nailed it.
If you were going to say like the three ninja of I don't know
tenets,
the three pillars of the Arashikage clan.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. It would make sense. But three elements is dumb.
Yeah, look, I like this episode a lot. There's a lot of fun and cool things that happened in it. Having three separate fights that are very gimmick matches, one and all, that lead to a gimmicky finish wasn't my favorite part of it. But I like these two characters of Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow, and I like how generally... correctly they're being portrayed in this episode with their complicated relationship, and the fact that Snake Eyes can't talk and Storm Shadow doesn't want to hear what he would have to say anyway. I thought that all came across, and I thought they did a good job with that relationship in this episode.
I feel like these characters work best when you only have a shadowy reference point for their history, because a lot of things will look silly in the light of day, and the show leans towards silly in a bad way a lot. And if I would rather they just sort of like left it alone and like, don't show us pictures of friggin' baby snake eyes.
Look, that was, we'll get there when we get there. That was a moment. Okay. At this moment though, the dreadnoughts attack. And I loved this attack. I take it all back. I enjoyed everything about the Dreadnoks in this scene. They attacked the way I think that they would attack. They've got crazy fun weapons. And they Buzzer gets himself the Power Stone in this battle. Good job, Dreadnoks. Excuse me. The Sigma Stone.
Thank you. We do not dead name these stones.
Somebody else take over the show. I'm not doing it.
I'm being dead serious here. I call that shit X because I think if you decide to choose a new name, you respect it. Even though Elon Musk is a piece of crap, even though his software, his company is a piece of crap, I still respect the naming.
Heard it here first. Chan thinks corporations are people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big fan of that.
Citizens United was a gift to free speech, and we should all be thankful for our corporate overlords.
Gina, anything you want to add here?
I'm not comfortable
talking right now, to be honest with you.
I think it's all stupid. I don't think anything Elon Musk does should be respected. I think that.
Come on, what about the Tesla truck?
Oh God! Oh yeah, the one that broke or something. I'm just assuming based on everything else he does.
Well, okay. Here's the deal. Here's my take of the Cybertruck is, you know how like you look at you go to McDonald's and there's pictures of the food, and then you get the actual food and it's nothing like those pictures. Somehow the pictures of the Cybertruck that they put out early, which already looked like ass. But comparatively speaking, the actual Cybertruck looks considerably worse somehow. Like, that is a doing.
From the get-go, I was like, really? This looks like something from, like, an early 80s Troma or a Corman picture where they just took, like, a golf cart and slapped just, like, big old pieces of cardboard and paper mache on it and called it a car? Yeah. I'm like, you're not seriously trying to sell that thing, and then somehow it turns out that it's super hard to make that thing, so they can't even make it. They weren't even shooting for the stars. They just
the most wild story that came out about it is that the first one came off the line, right? They finished the first Cybertruck, so they wanted to get a picture of it, but it looked like such anus. They put all the employees in front of the truck, so you couldn't see it.
I would rather see an anus.
Well, yes.
How about a stuck anus?
No.
No, there's a reason we don't have video for these shows, Chan.
How about a Rafe Burkernings?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. I've heard good things.
Yeah, me too.
So...
Uh-oh. All right. That's it. That's it for him, folks. That's it, he's dead.
The heart's going out.
He's got his body will lie in the hot garage for the next week until anyone notices.
No one's coming to get me. My only hope is that the stray cats make enough noise when I'm not feeding them.
At some
point. The only shot I got.
At some point, your daughter will be like, man, I really want a soda. And we'll just wander out there.
She does not drink
soda. Yeah.
You know how bad those things are for your health, Jen?
And she'll be like, what's this lump? It looks kind of like that guy that lived in the house for a little while.
That guy that lived in the house. Oh, to be remembered so fondly. my gracious.
I actually have a note in here
that
says, structurally, this is fine, but the kids are really dorky. So I guess at the time that I watched it, I was like, okay, like the story, all of the pieces of the story are fine. It's just the execution from top to bottom. Like the characters are dumb. The actual elements of the story proper are dumb.
Kids are dorky though. Like that seems like a good note. Like you don't want these kids to be cool.
But they're ninjas.
Yeah, think all ninja kids are cool? They're still kids. They're still eating their boogers and picking their noses and farting until they shart.
That is... So when someone asks you, what do you know about kids, Gina? the first and possibly only things that come to your mind are they eat their boogers, they pick their nose, and they fart until they shart.
Yeah, can you really tell me that I'm wrong?
I mean, having a child, I will say that there are at least three more things that they do. But, I mean, you did get the bulk of them, so I'll give you credit for that.
So Jinx and Kamakura say, hey, the Dreadnoks just took off with the Sigma Stone, and we should probably go get it. I mean, it's really, we're kind of mad that we did that they got it and they left. And yeah, I'm real disappointed in our failing on this mission. We should probably go chase them, but let's talk about our feelings first. To the point where they talk for an eternity about how, you know what, we should probably chase after them since our mission is that stone and they got that stone, before they finally come together to make the decision to go after them. And I found that hilarious.
Yeah. Like, I like the idea of splitting this episode into two parts where mm-hmm. they're chasing the Dreadnoks, you know, like the goofballs chasing the goofballs, and then the cool dudes duking it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the duking it out was terrible, and the goofballs on goofball action was also terrible.
Be honest, I would watch an entire episode that's just the Dreadnoks making faux pas in foreign countries.
Yes, I would.
Oh, I would follow them around as a reality show. No joke. I would watch the hell out of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then like at the end of the show, just to like show that they're not the good guys, like all the locals are just like, you just interview the locals for them to shit on them. Like, it's just an entire episode of, like, the Dreadnoks being like, what's this food called? Sushi? And then, like, at the end of the episode, you interview the locals and they're like, wow, I have never met people so stupid. Hopefully they're not getting paid for this show. If you are a kid of theirs, make sure they pay you child support, because I'm sure they're not right now, and mm-hmm. they should be.
100% chance.
Yeah. If you're talking deadbeat dads, like, again, which G.I. Joes are deadbeat dads? Dreadnoks right up there. Most of the Cobras, surprisingly, I think they do pay child support.
Can I tell you, I feel like that's a hardtimes.net like article, top 20 G.I. Joes in order of who I think is a deadbeat dad. I'll be honest, that sounds amazing, and I would in fact watch it, yes.
I would click on that.
Yeah, I would click on that in a heartbeat. Okay, ninja fight number two, the second test. Going back to the elements, the first one was steel, so obviously the second one is air. So we went with a real one, real element this time.
Mm-hmm.
This one's kind of cool. You know, I think they're all pretty cool, if I'm just going to be real, because they're chained together in this fight by their wrists. They have a chain between the two of them, and they have to do a sword fight, and they get to fling each other around, and somehow they end up on top of the Eiffel Tower. I don't know how this happened.
Okay. Here's the thing. There is a tower in Tokyo that looks kind of like the Eiffel Tower. So I will give them that, because that was also my first thought. It's like, how the fuck did they go intercontinental with this? I'm like, okay, no, this is okay. I will allow this.
Okay, we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really awkward. But I do like this. Look, this is 1v1. You got the split screen with Storm Shadow's face on one, Snake Eyes' face on the other. And they do that move where they're chained together and they jump at each other with their swords and they slash. And they both get a hit. Now, the hit on Storm Shadow is sort of on, like, what, the shoulder? So he gets cut, his sleeve tears a little bit. Snake Eyes gets cracked right across the face, shattering half of his faceplate. And revealing what? Blonde hair sticking out from his eye slits.
Wait, didn't we already see this in a previous episode?
I don't know that we did, because at the very least, I was surprised by this. Now,
you were surprised that he was blonde.
I was surprised that he was blonde. Yes.
I thought I was for a second. And then I think I thought we saw him at some point. I just want to get back to him and who's he boning? Scarlet? Lady J? I don't remember.
He's boning Scarlet in many iterations. I don't think this is one of them.
There is only one girl in this show. Okay, well, technically Jinx, I guess. But, like, Scarlet is the only Joe.
Yeah. No,
Jinx is a Joe? How dare you? Jinx Women can't be Joes in Chan's world.
She's a literal child. She's, like, 16 or something.
Is she? Scarlet. I thought that that's just, like, an anime trope that all the adult women look young.
I mean, it is, and so that's what they're going for.
Both her and Kamakura are, like, young apprentices.
Oh, I thought that meant, like, 21.
So you're saying that she's barely legal and this that you're okay with that?
No,
and
18 that is what you want. Would be barely legal.
Mm-hmm.
Look, what I really love is
like fully legal.
I'm going to get us out of here.
And I'm going to drag us back in.
We go to a flashback scene where the two of them need to work together to cut this log. That's like a big test from back in their training days. And Snake, they're both wearing almost identical outfits to what they're wearing now, which is wild to consider, except for the fact that Snake Eyes has this like headpiece that has like a Naruto star right on the forehead. And his blonde hair just sticks out all over the place in his face.
Are we going? Okay, no, never mind.
But what I thought was cool was when they did the log cut thing together, Storm Shadow gets cut on the shoulder and Snake Eyes gets half of his visor cut off and it gets slashed under the eye, which is exactly what happened in the fight that just happened. This is a pattern between these two. Mm. I loved the callback.
So really all one would need to do to win is vary their fighting style.
At some point in their life.
You are correct, except for the fact that this is a very precise... I think that there's a series of motions they're expected to do to get it done correctly.
That involve hitting people in faces?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I will also say I wrote a note here that half of Storm Shadow's dialogue is excellent. The other half is so on the nose, it hurts me of all people.
Well, I mean, at least some of it is good. In kids' TV, half good, half on the nose is good.
You know what? You heard it here first. Gina Ippolito loved this episode.
My kid has just started watching that King Kong show on Netflix.
Did not know there was a King Kong show on Netflix.
Me neither.
It's animated. And it has some of the worst writing. I mean, like, we know. I have been watching a lot of terrible-ass cartoons.
Since when?
Since I had a child. We've done a podcast.
Some of us don't know
about
this show because we canceled our Netflix accounts at the start of the strike in solidarity with the people who are being screwed over consistently by Netflix.
Thank you. Let me see. Did the guild say that we should do that?
Chan, real supporters of WGA and SAG-AFTRA canceled their Netflix. Thank you.
Individuals in the guild did indeed say you should do that.
Individuals of the guild? Are you an individual of the guild, Gina?
I'm saying individuals high up in the guild said you should do that. They're just opting not to say it as a whole because they know that Netflix will never own up to the fact that people canceled their subscriptions. And since they don't release their subscriber numbers, that would be pointless.
Also, remember, like, Netflix lost like a literal million subscribers in 1 month. And we're like, yeah, we still have 221 million subscribers. We don't care.
Point being, King Kong is terrible. Do not under any circumstances allow your child to watch that.
So probably not worth re-signing up for Netflix for is what I hear you saying.
I mean, there's plenty of stuff worth doing that. Although we've mostly been watching BritBox lately. So,
Yeah, that tracks, actually. Oh, I forgot to mention, the log thing is the test of water, the third of the three elements.
The what?
Steel, air, and water.
Steel, air, and the test of water is the one where you
cut a log.
Cut wood.
Yeah, you cut a log in the test of water because it's coming off of water.
Because wood is water.
The shape of water.
You have to fight a frogman.
fight a frog, man. But then I would be his friend.
Because I would get a hand job from that guy.
Oh, okay.
Look, if there was an actual, like, legitimate human intelligence monster species that was walking around today, mm-hmm. I can guarantee at least 80% of the populace would want to fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Uh-huh.
Y'all are creepy.
Y'all remember Battle Beasts?
Love me some Battle Beasts. Earth, fire, and water, or something like air, fire, wood. And water, right? Wood, fire, and water. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I had a ton of Battle Beasts. I had vehicles. Man, that shit was bomb.
If they had said water, fire, and wood, those are the three elements for test, I would buy that. You know what I don't buy? Steel, air, and water, except that it's actually wood.
Yeah, look, I thought that the actual trial was cool. But I cannot get behind the three elements. I'm just having a hard time with that.
I like that I'm fine with there being a trial, but none of the parts of it worked.
I did like the part where Snake Eyes is knocked from this Eiffel Tower by Storm Shadow, who apparently, I forgot, he must cut the chain as well, because Snake Eyes is free-falling off of the Eiffel Tower while Storm Shadow is running down the side of the building. Yeah, and I just wrote here, is literally everyone on this show Naruto? What is happening right now?
Yes. The answer is yes.
I mean, the answer is definitely yes. Which, okay, here's the deal. This is where, for the second episode in a row, I have thoughts. Well, I had thoughts every episode, but they're ordered to send the virus unit to deal with the Joes, right? Except that, again, for Cobra, it's not ready. And they're ordered to send the virus unit anyway. That's a robot. And I'm just telling you, listen to your QA, everybody. This is a public service message. If the QA is telling you it's not ready, and you're working on a game, say, like Apex Legends, and your QA is saying, I don't think this is ready for live, and you push it into live over the weekend anyway, and it crashes your entire game because it wasn't ready and needed more testing. This could be a scenario that anybody is familiar with. You know, anybody, you know, has a relatable, exactly like this story. Listen to your QA is my point. That's my point I'm trying to say.
This was such a near miss because, yeah, it's basically the exact same problem as the previous one where, you know, it's under maintenance. We're having to fix a problem. Now just send it out. They could have just said to achieve the same results, it's not properly charged. It's only at like 20% power. We need to get it powered all the way up. And they say, no, do that anyway. That way you get the big beastie robot that isn't at full power and so could be conceivably bested by a couple of children with sticks. And the fact that they did that is lazy, and it doesn't make any sense because later on it gets super powered up by the Sigma Stone. So that would actually make sense that it had no power and now it's got a lot of power. And the fact that you bring in that it's broken or whatever is just bad.
Yeah. It's repetitive. And then there's a second plot point that I believe happened in a previous episode too, which we'll get to in a sec. You know, the part that kills me, and okay, real quick, when they cut over to the Cobra phone operator who's sitting there in a full visor and armor, and he's just answering the phone. I've been watching a lot of Venture Brothers lately, and there's those two guys at the Guild of Calamitous Intent who always are answering like the hotline, and they're sitting there in their full armor and their visors and their eye patches, and they have nothing else to do. And that's all I could think about when I'm looking at this Cobra guy sitting by himself in some panel just answering the phone. I want that job is what I'm trying to say. If Cobra was a real organization, I would pay them to wear full armor and visors and just answer customer support calls. That sounds amazing to me. So the second plot point that we recycled, somebody calls them the Dud Knocks. And yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's an ongoing thing.
It was funny. That. I liked it.
We're skipping right over the flashback to them as youngsters and talking to their sensei.
You already complained about it. You called them dorks.
No. Because we get the little kid version later. But back when they introduced the concept of the Trial of Water.
With the log, yeah.
The flashback, and their sensei is there, who has an eye patch, whatever, and is white. The sensei of the Arashikage clan is white.
Wait a minute. I thought
he has kanji on his gi that is fake Japanese.
Wait, this is a serious question. Is everyone, like, is this an anime thing where everyone just looks white?
No.
Because I'm thinking of like Sailor Moon does not, like, looks white and lives in Japan.
That's
complicated. That's a complicated question.
Any martial arts master who is a guru of some type is absolutely not a white dude.
No, I'm just saying, like, is he supposed to be Japanese, but this is just the animation? Because there are other anime shows that I've watched that are set in Japan and they just look white, but they are Japanese. Like, that's what I'm saying.
No, that's a thing. That's a real thing. Yeah. And here's the deal. There's been a lot written about that, because my understanding, and this is, I've thought about this a lot, having grown up watching a ton of anime, the movie Akira, like, everybody looks white, except that they're all in Neo-Tokyo. And the story goes that they're drawn to be neutral, and that the audience perceives them as whatever they are.
Yeah.
So and my understanding is, in Japan, people look at that exact same stuff and go, those people are clearly Japanese. And then we watch it and we go, those people are clearly white. And it's just a difference of opinion in that they are, again, portrayed as neutral. In some Loop in the Third stuff, there are people who are very clearly supposed to be Japanese who look very, almost upsettingly, stereotypically Japanese. But then all the other characters, Lupin, like his gang, Zenigata, they're all supposed to also be Japanese, but they, you know, to my Western brain, look white. I don't have an answer, is the answer to this question. I'm just saying, people talk about this a lot.
Like, is any character in this show, including those that are supposed to be Japanese, are they drawn in any way that is...
I will only say this. That mustache is a white mustache.
Okay, look.
Asian person on the planet that has a goddamn Oklahoma mustache like that guy.
Here's the deal. I don't think when I looked at him, I thought he was reasonably, you know, Asian.
I thought he was drawn in a sort of neutral Asian way. That's what it looks like. It's a stylistic choice, and he's not supposed to be a white guy. He's supposed to be Japanese.
Is that supposed to be Japanese on his outfit?
Well, probably yes. And you are raising another excellent point, Chan. I don't have good answers here.
I don't see any writing on his outfit.
Well, I guess you're getting another screenshot from me.
So I looked up Japanese mustaches. I just Googled it to try to find an example to put Chan away. And I found a guy who was perfect. And then when I clicked on the image, it said the ambassador to Japan. And that didn't make my point at all, did it?
Not so much, no.
Robert Clark Chan. Here we go. This is perfect for this notoriously visual medium.
You have found the one Japanese dude who has a mustache that looks kind of like that.
I think unless they said in the cartoon that he's not supposed to be Japanese, I think he's supposed to be Japanese.
Dear God, what the fuck? Why are you sending a clearly fake mustache picture?
That is a very obviously real mustache. How dare you, Robert Clark Chan? I will be putting it on our Twitter account for the show at G.I. Joe Podcast.
Oh my
and
God.
I will just ask the question, fake or real? I think that seems fair. And people will have to make that decision before so listening to this segment. Somebody else carry the show for a second.
Nope. This is ground to a halt, and it is your fault.
Well, then let's just go to commercial.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
The Protect America Battle Force 2000 creates the battle vehicles of the future.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe's Battle Force 2000.
Skysweeper, Eliminator, Vindicator.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe's Battle Force 2000.
Dominator, Vector, and Marauder, they split and recombine into the awesome Future Fortress.
Go, go!
Nobody beats G.I. Joe, a real American hero.
Battle Force 2000 figures and vehicles sold separately. Collect all six vehicles to form the Future Fortress.
Go, go!
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Okay, we're back.
Ray has composed himself.
I'm back. Guys, it took me a long time. It took me a very long time to come back, but here I am. So, I kind of like this moment, except it again steals from a previous G.I. Joe Sigma 6 in that the Power Stone, excuse me, Sigma Stone ends up like next to this this fighting robot that's not quite ready. Its AI isn't ready. It's been powered down. It gets stepped on, if I remember correctly, and Buzzer shoots it. He just shoots the Sigma Stone, which then zaps the robot, turning it into a mindless automaton that cannot tell friend from foe, and starts attacking the Dreadnoks. It evolves it somehow. I don't understand it, except at what I'm very confused about here is it's clearly... The stone itself is a small stone in between two like rocks, right? And it's like on a little pedestal. And it falls. They shoot it, leaving only a piece of that pedestal that held the rock. And G.I. Joe runs and grabs the stone. Like, they try to recover the stone, even though it's clearly gone because it blew up. Am I crazy? It's confusing.
It ejected energy of some kind, but there was still a stone left over. I don't know if like part of the stone evaporated basically, or if it's just like you whack it and it like makes a big light show and does weird shit to robots.
I like when enemies become friends, when friends become enemies because of robots.
Absolutely.
I like the concept that these Sigma Stones do weird shit to technology.
Yeah.
Because we did it before with the
dog thing.
Did we? The dog was completely separate, wasn't it?
Wait, yeah, that was this show.
But I mean, was it a result of the Sigma Stones or was it some other? He got some information from Overkill and plugged it in and then he gave it some sort of liquid. What was that liquid?
That was the stuff that he created from the lab.
Yeah, that's right.
But it didn't have any attachment to the Sigma Stone, did it? Because if they sort of like stumble on that, these Sigma Stones, which sure, like they have existed for a long time and, you know, ancient ninjas thought they had some sort of power, but it didn't really do anything. And now that these robots are being affected by this thing, like, oh my God, this is a thing that we didn't realize these things did, I would be into it. And if, you know, we continue on and like they kept putting into more and more robots and the robots got weirder and weirder, like that would be a really fun thing to play with. We're 10 episodes in and we've sort of introduced it. If they follow up with it, I'm going to be excited. If this was just some sort of random ass thing, because like, I don't know, we're calling them Sigma Stones today, Power Stones tomorrow, and they affect robots one day and then they don't do jack squat, except like, they're like really cool gasoline. I'm going to be bummed that they drop the ball again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens. Now, I did like a moment between Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes are fighting with swords. And they're going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then Storm Shadow just stops fighting and he turns his back And he's like, I can tell you're preoccupied with your friends being in trouble, and I don't want to fight you when you're not at your best, so why don't you go save your friends, and we'll pick this up another time, because this isn't fun for me anymore. And I liked it. I like these moments. They keep happening.
I hate it. Like, it's good doesn't
character
make any
moments, Chan.
It's not a good character moment because there was never anything established that, like, I want to fight you with this at your best. He's like, I want to fucking kill you because you betrayed our family. And then to be like, oh, but no, it needs to be. He hasn't mentioned anything about honor or an honorable killing. He's just saying that, like, I am mad at you and I want to kill you.
I believe you're earlier on, he did refer to Snake Eyes as being dishonorable. I believe he did do that.
Yeah. So yeah, how does that?
Yeah.
How does that factor into this?
Now, if you think he's dishonorable, you probably shouldn't be turning your back to him in the middle of a fight.
Yeah, it's.
Storm Shadow's not stupid. I think, like, you know, deep down he knows something is up, but he's defined himself by this beef for so many years. You know, it's like the master and the doctor. The master doesn't really want the doctor gone because then he's got nothing. He's got nothing left to do.
Then I would like Storm Shadow shown up and said, like, yeah, I'm going to finally show everybody that I'm the best by defeating you. But that's not what he... That's,
you know,
not
that dialogue's a little on the nose, isn't it, Chan?
I mean, that's what they presented. They switched it up on us in the middle. It was a tale of vengeance, and now it's a matter of honor. Pick one.
They can be intertwined, I think.
Then they need to introduce it as intertwined. It did not come off that way at the beginning, and it felt like a cop-out when they changed it up in the middle.
Yeah, I don't know. I do know that I really enjoyed the moment when Kamakura and Jinx run out of ideas, so they just run their bike into this virus robot and just smash directly into him, creating a big explosion. That brought me a lot of joy. I also appreciate that the Dreadnoks are gone. The Dreadnoks have taken off, and they are not coming back the rest of this episode.
That is weird. I just realized that. What the hell happened to them?
They see the killer robot is fighting Joes, and they get out of town. And that is a character choice and a correct one.
Was there a moment where they're like, ah, I am frightened, let's run?
I don't know that they actually said it out loud.
I hope that they just, like, Irish goodbye. Like, I think that's a Dreadnought thing where they are just Australian. Like, they're Homer melting into the bush.
I'm into it. So they all take their different shots. There's many different moments when I feel like they clearly imply that the virus robot's been cut in half, and then it just falls over and it hasn't been cut really at all. And I don't know what to deal with that is. That was very, very upsetting to me. Also, like, the what is it? Kamakura Snake. The Snake Eyes turns his sword into a power sword from Warhammer 40,000, which was excellent. And then he slices a whole bunch of pieces off of the virus robot, and then it regenerates itself back to full form again because it's evolving on the spot. How could anyone possibly defeat this robot?
That's why I'm back to, like, appreciating the structure of it. Because, like, yeah, it's dumb that his sword turns into a tonfa somehow and, you know, is like laser sword and cuts him up. But, like, yeah, okay, that's cool. And you defeat it and then the robot comes back up. That's neat. And then they have to team up to get to defeat it. But, like, why? Why would Storm Shadow do that?
Because he's honorable and he wants to help Snake Eyes overcome this obstacle so that way he may be clear-headed and fight him again at full strength. It's very obvious. Chan, why do I have to explain this? Do I have to explain every show to you, Chan? Why do you not understand things?
I understand that it was lazy.
So they go ahead and they do the log move against the robot together in tandem. Do it perfectly using all three elements. I wrote here, F, yes. Duo work. They crush it. It was awesome. Best moment of the episode. Yes, more of this. This was fresh. Certified fresh.
More of this, but correctly.
And they put that on the outside of the box. Robert Clark Chan says, more of this.
Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot. You don't need to hear the rest of the statement. Don't worry about that. Yeah. So the Dreadnoughts, we cut back to them. And they are flying back to the Cobra base. And Buzzer comes up with the big plan. They do not have the Sigma Stone to bring back, right? That's not good. Cobra Commander will not be happy. Buzzer turns to their Dreadnoughts and says,
Cobra Commander will freak when he finds out Buzzer used up that rock.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Oh, I was just trying to zap them ninjas. I'm deep in the dung heap. Maybe I could tell him the stone was a fake.
What? Oh. Throw that fire in chains!
Cobra Commander was listening in. Sorry, sir.
Again, let me be that guy in the visor, in the armor, who just answers phones. That job sounds sick to me. I love it.
Sorry, sir. I left the line open. That makes me laugh.
You just know that the Dreadnoughts, when they go to the Japanese airport, are buying a bunch of different flavored Kit Kats and bringing them back for their friends. Just like I did. Just like I did.
I mean, that is the reason why we see Buzzer again, because they came up and like, look, Cobra Commander, I brought you some cherry blossom Kit Kats.
Yeah.
next time. But these are delicious.
Yeah. Oh, I got you some plum wine ones, too. This one's sake flavored. It doesn't really have a strong flavor.
Yeah, I didn't care for the sake ones. They're kind of dull.
Yeah, they were dull. I got to go back to Japan to get some more Kit Kats.
Yes, just for that one reason. amazing. Just fantastic. And I wrote here Storm Shadow kind of rules. I just like him here. And this is where we cut back to them as baby ninjas, ladies and gentlemen. We have baby ninjas, and they are dressed once again in the exact same outfits as they wear today. And that, I got a good hearty laugh out of cutting back to them as baby ninjas wearing the same shit.
I laughed out loud.
Yeah. Wearing their kitty pajamas.
Hearkening back to the ninjas' understanding of elements.
To be a ninja, you must be strong as steel.
I like that. Strong as steel makes total sense.
Free as air.
A ninja should be free, just like the air, moving around.
And bold as water.
The fuck?
Bold as water.
Like, yeah, if you pour water into something, it molds to its shape. That makes sense, Chan.
Bold.
When I think of bold, I think of two things. Flaming hot Cheetos and water.
Oh, yeah. Bold doesn't make sense. I thought he was saying they can mold themselves into any shape, just like when you pour water into a different thing.
You thought he said mold?
Mold as water. I could see Gina hearing that and...
You guys, I just asked this question. What is Snake Eyes sweeping?
The grass.
Yeah, why remember when Donald Trump told us to sweep the forests?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's trying to prevent a forest fire around the Arashikage Shrine. Uh-huh. They cut back to them as baby ninjas. There's a few moments. One of them is Storm Shadow using a cloth and polishing the stone, the shrine, and then Snake Eyes next to him, brooming the grass next to the shrine.
No, I mean, he probably is like, it's like the equivalent of raking the leaves.
It's not, though. It's with a broom. Old-timey broom, and it's grass.
Yeah, this is what happened before there were rakes. You used a stiff broom. Filthy.
How long have you been out here sweeping it?
This is like the Karate Kid thing, like wax on, wax off. No, seriously, we're definitely teaching you martial arts and not just making you do chores.
Yeah. Yeah, he's sweeping the grass, I guess. This is where they walk away from each other, and that's the end of the episode. Storm Shadow, for a moment, is like, maybe I don't want to kill you. Maybe I feel ashamed. I have conflicting feelings. I'm getting out of here some other day, Jerko McGurko. And then he takes off, and that's the episode. Best episode of Sigma 6 we've seen so far.
I don't remember any of the episodes, including this one.
So my statement stands uncorrectable. And that's it, everybody. G.I. Joe Sigma 6, Episode 10, Honor. How's your full watch going? Somebody from the future who just got to this episode like 9 years after we recorded it? Is the world still around? I wish I knew what you knew.
You could tell Ray what to invest in or what team to bet on in the 2023 World Series?
That hasn't happened yet. That would be a good bet.
Excellent. Excellent.
I'm glad you accidentally backed into a correct sports reference.
There we go. Yeah. Look at me.
Hey, football season's upon us.
Oh, and
by the time you hear this, it's possible the Lions won or didn't win their first game of the season on Thursday night to open against the defending champion, Kansas City Chiefs. If they won, what a great day. If they lost, oh no.
I wonder how I'm doing in my fantasy football league.
Gina, you're doing great.
As well as the Detroit Lions.
In other words, we just don't know.
No, we know.
Open future.
We're just not accepting the fact that we have lost horribly. Again.
Unless they don't. Ah.
But they will.
I mean, it's possible.
They will.
And that's our show, everybody. Remember to check out all the links, facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. Heck, why not go to patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast and, you know, like $5 a month, support the show. You know, we're actually, we're doing up in the future. We got some more listener Patreon suggestions of episodes to listen to or to watch, I should say. And if I was smart, I would have my calendar up to talk about it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Next episode is 1940s Superman, suggested by Lord Snurts. How about that? That's coming up soon.
Intriguing.
And we have a couple more three episodes of G.I. Joe Sigma 6 to burn through. And then we are getting to our October Halloween episodes, our November Thanksgiving Day, or no holiday at all, according to this Robonic Stooges by patron Rob Schaefer episode that Chan has scheduled in November. I don't know why, but Chan makes decisions sometimes that bamboozle us. Also in December, look for Christmas episodes. We're making an effort, everybody, to try to get seasonal programming before the end of the season. And I think we should be applauded that it only took us 8-9 seasons to get there.
Seasonal.
We are very good at this.
I'm going to start watching Halloween cartoons now.
I think it's fair. And here's the record. Can we get some Thanksgiving stuff suggested to us, please? Why are we doing Robonic Stooges when there's got to be some sort of Great Turkey Day something?
Yeah, give us all those.
Because somebody said we had to finish all 13 episodes of G.I. Joe before we started the holidays. So I had to muscle in an extra 3 friggin' episodes. That's why.
I don't remember saying that.
I think Gina said it. She just doesn't remember.
Must be Gina. Sounds like something Gina would do.
I say stuff and don't get credit for it. So I guess it's only right that finally I didn't say something and got credit for it.
So wait, using the transitive property, Chan, I think you said it.
I don't think you know how the transitive property works.
Oh, no.
Take a man, heavy duty on the scene. Snake eyes, hand to hand. Long range, lean and mean. Scarlet, ready to fight.
Turn on red ignite.
Wherever Cobra strikes, wherever they attack, G.I. Joe will fight. There's no turning back.
Yo, Joe!
G.I. Joe is there.
Sigma 6!
Hey, you. No. Don't look over here. Keep your eyes on the road. Got something for you.
Take a listen to this.
In the newest Pokemon, they have Score Bunny, which is a starter.
What?
Yes.
Score Bunny?
So it's a fire bunny that plays soccer. He kicks balls.
He scores. Great.
Score, like Scorch, I think. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Like goal. Like Score Bunny.
Rad.
There's Score Bunny, who uses his mad soccer skills to steal, I think, like donuts or something like that.
How does he use his soccer skills to steal donuts?
He kicks it.
Oh, yummy.
The best part is, though, Score Bunny wants to go and follow Ash and go on big adventures. But
oh my
Ash
god,
is like,
Ash is still the main character of the anime?
Yes, where have you been? Yeah, so Ash is like, I'm getting on the train. I'm leaving, Score Bunny. And Score Bunny's like,
is it because he's 80 years old? That's why he sounds like that? Nothing makes donuts taste better than a foot coming in contact with them.
If you like what you heard and love co-op with your friends, check out Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast.